welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVernier, with you for an hour of horror. Later on, we hear the story The Locomotive Ghost on The Mysterious Traveler. Right now, it's Inner Sanctum, an Armed Forces radio service rebroadcast from CBS, heard on January 31st, 1949. The story, The Devil's Fortune.
Good evening, friends. This is your host to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Come in, come in. I've been reading my fan mail. Huh? Oh, sure, I get lots of it. Delivered in a hearse every morning. One lonely heart writes, "Despite your sinister voice, you strike me as a fine gentleman and a homebody. I am companionable, good-natured, unmarried, and I've been hardly dead a year. Won't you please exchange photographs, signed, Lonesome?" Did somebody say the lady spook out of turn?
Tonight's Inner Sanctum mystery, The Devil's Fortune, was written by John Robert and stars Carl Swenson in the role of Tracy with Charles Irving as McNamara.
And now for tonight's chaos. In the deep hinterland of Mexico, on the ground level over a mine shaft, a ceremony is being performed by a frightened group of men. A ceremony of fear. Drums beat, and a roaring fire licks up the night sky. Underground in a mine called El Fortuna Diablo, the Devil's Fortune, floodwaters rise slowly to choke off all life in the shaft. Clinging to the elevation of a ledge, trapped and at bay, with the waters lapping at his ankles, is a young man. His expression is desperate as he fires a gun into the subterranean shadows at an unseen target.
Give me a break, Mac. I got a right to live.
You waste these bullets, Tracy. You better come out of your hands up or drown. I'm waiting just around the air.
Yeah, with your gun cocked ready to shoot me down.
Just waiting. Take all the time you need making up your mind, Tracy. Choose the way you
want to
die.
Choose the way I want to die. Mac will get me even if it costs him his own life. Mac happened to me in a furnished room across the border in El Paso. I came out of a stupor one morning, opened my eyes blearily, and there was Big Mac sitting on a chair. Hey, who are you, mister?
Never mind, kid. Right now, you're more interested in the third man in the room.
Third man?
Over there, propped in the corner, with a knife stuck in his chest.
What?
Recognize him?
Yeah, sure. Coombs. We were making the rounds together last night. Who killed him?
You did.
Huh?
Check the knife. See if it's yours. I'll give you the details, kid. At about 2 a.m., you got into a quarrel with Coombs outside the Hotel Navajo. I happened to be around, taking it all in. You're a mining engineer, but you haven't worked in a year. You were stewing over your hard luck. You took it out on Coombs.
It's hard to believe it.
Take the corpse's pulse, and then believe it. You blacked out, and I hustled you both up here.
Why?
To give you a choice. Either I call the cops, or the three of us go for a ride. We dump Coombs somewhere, and then the two of us push on into the interior of Mexico. Is it a deal?
Why are you helping me? What's in it for you, Mr.
McNamara. You're a crack mine engineer. I need a crack mine engineer that I can trust. Your knife in Coombs means I can trust you anytime, anywhere.
We dumped Coombs, and 2 days later, we were 500 miles inside Mexico. Mac?
Huh?
I've been thinking. That story that you palmed off on me about Coombs. You stuck that knife in him.
Yeah, maybe. But you'll never be able to prove it now.
Mac, you're crazy.
And you're soft. Soft and sentimental. The world's an anthill. Knifing Coombs was like stepping on an ant. Get tough, Tracy. Think big.
How big?
This big. I've got a map here. Yeah. Read off the name.
El Fortuno Diablo.
An abandoned gold mine just outside a native village called Alicante. All boxed in and boarded up. Hasn't been worked in 20 years. A fortune's been laying around begging for takers.
Well, why hasn't anybody worked the mine?
Fright. They're all petrified with fright. From the owner, a chump named Parento, right on down the line to everybody in town. There's a legend about the mine that scares them. The devil is supposed to make his headquarters there.
The map is spotted with blood. Whose blood is that, Mac?
The chump who had the map previous to me. Called himself Klondike. He lay there drooling over the map, whispering to himself about El Fortuno Diablo. Week in and week out, month after month, I listened to Klondike whispering to himself.
Lay there? Lay where, Mac?
I had to break his hand open to get the map out of his fingers.
Where were you, Mac?
I'll tell you sometime, Tracy. Sometime when you get out of line, maybe, you'll wish I hadn't told you.
We reached Alicante, bleak, backward village, where civilization came trickling in slowly by donkey cart over narrow mountain passes.
From here on, kid, watch me operate.
How are you going to get El Fortuno Diablo?
Steal it. We steal the mine from a Senor Parento, that owner I told you about. It's all fixed. Tonight, Parento's being told the hoodoo is off the mine and that he's a dope not to cut me in as a partner and start operating El Fortuno Diablo full blast.
Who's telling all this to Parento?
The one guy he'll listen to and believe. What passes for the village wise man in these parts? A joker named Montesano. Montesano has this town organized, like Al Capone used to operate in Cicero. Everybody's scared not to listen to Montesano.
Well, why will Montesano play ball with you?
A gun in his ribs and 500 bucks in his palm. Just you watch how Montesano plays ball.
I watched Montesano bat a home run for McNamara. We were in a room with Montesano, Parento, and a sharp-nosed fella named Salvador. Salvador acted as a sort of bodyguard, advisor, and local technical expert to Parento.
You will work the mine, Parento. You and the Senor McNamara.
Boy, the legend del Diablo.
The curse is no more. When your father was killed, he put the 20-year curse on El Fortuno Diablo. Now the time is over.
But the man, they will not work the mine. In all Alicante, I can find nobody to work the mine.
You will tell everybody in Alicante and in the mountains that Montesano say it is good to work the mine.
Machinery trickled in by cart over the mountain passes. Fearful workers grumblingly responded to Montesano's call. The shafts were rebuilt. The mine began operating. The end of the first week, McNamara played his trump card. He stole the mine. It was Sunday, the day of. Parento and his man Salvador had just left the conference with Mac. Mac was laughing. The kind of laugh that meant he was grinding his heels into an anthill again.
Happy days, Tracy.
You've pushed your master plan another foot forward, huh?
A mile, Tracy. Yeah, take a gander at this. It's a contract for purchase. For a dollar and other valuable considerations, Parento signs the whole mine over to Mr. McNamara.
Parento signed it?
Yeah, he did. But he thought he was signing a requisition for supplies from Tampico. I pulled the old document switch on him.
Mac, that's an outright steal. Parento will call you a liar and a thief.
He'll never get that chance, Tracy.
Mac, what are you up to with Parento?
Parento and his stooge, Salvador, have just gone into the mine for an administrative look around. At my suggestion. And Tracy, I've got a hunch they're going to meet up with that El Diablo.
Matt, what have you done?
Those other valuable considerations I gave Parento. There are a couple of lunch boxes, packed nice and appetizing with chicken sandwiches and hot drinks. In just 1 minute, I'm going to pull the steam whistle cord so that Parento and Salvador get the idea that it's noontime and they're hungry. Mm-hmm. Minutes up.
Matt, what's the connection? Well, what if lunchboxes are...
Now you're smartening up, kid. The box is open on a wire like a booby trap. Reach for a sandwich and smoke gets in your eyes.
Mac, I'm not going to let you blow up.
Freeze, chump. This is a gun in your ribs. If you're itching to throw in with Parento and Salvador...
Mac!
Parento and Salvador got hungry. Now we're really in the mining business, Tracy. Think.
When the bodies came out of El Fortuno Diablo, Mac and I were out walking. The idea was the Sunday explosions happened mysteriously while we were away. That night at the hospital, I talked to the local doc.
Yeah, poor Parento. We didn't even find enough of him to make a decent burial.
No. Blown to bits. And Salvador?
Well, with Salvador, it was a miracle, Senor Tracy. Salvador lives, but not his face. Now, when the bandages come off one day, it will not be the face of the Salvador we knew. Just like his mind, poor Salvador left his face behind him in El Fortuno Diablo.
Parento blown to bits and Salvador with his head swathed in bandages. McNamara's master plan was going great. Now the mine worked full blast, round the clock, day and night. Montesano was on hand when needed, telling everybody the hex was off, keeping the men in line for Mac. The men were working overtime, but connecting the shaft to the shack we supervised from. The bell meant an injury. It wasn't a hospital case this time. It was a case for the coroner. In the mine shaft, face upward, with his eyes fixed and unwinking, lay a miner, Miguelito.
All of a sudden, Senor Miguelito, he let out a cry and dropped to the ground. I live a thousand años and I never forget Miguelito's cry.
What killed him, Tracy?
Well, nothing apparent, Mac. No wound, nothing. Shock, I'd say, from the look on his face.
It was El Diablo. El Diablo coming for Miguelito. His face is black and standing from the side of his head, I see horns.
Start that line of talk, Manuelo. You're scaring the men. Scared men don't mind gold.
Señor McNamara, is it true? It was the devil who come before Miguelito. See? Look there to the ground. El Diablo left his footprints.
We looked. And there, clearly defined in the soft dirt, was a print. A hoof print.
Mac, it's a hoof. It's a cloven hoof.
Tracy, so help me, if you blow your top in front of the men.
Miguelito had a heart attack, men. He was just a kid, not up to being a miner. Now everybody back to work.
The men went back to mining for gold. And the emergency bell kept ringing.
Tracy.
Yes?
Go fetch that Alicante wise man. Tell Montesano the men need another spiel about how the devil has called it quits and the hoodoo's off the mine.
Has the devil called quits, Mac?
Tracy, you blow your top and I'll blow your head off. I'm here to mine gold. If I have to kill every mother's son of you and work the mine myself.
How do you explain the four murdered men, then?
Bad hearts, the 24-hour shift. Maybe the men got to brawling among themselves down there. It's easier to blame a killing on the devil than face a murder rap. Now what?
That's the fire bell. Fire, Mac. Another omen of disaster. Your gold mine is going up in smoke.
Fire!
Mine was a raging inferno. Mac ran around like a wild man, barking orders, working with superhuman energy.
Get that equipment going. Beat the fireman and I'll double everybody's pay.
Hey, Hustler,
let the fire get out of control and lose the mine. And I'll sing every living one of you a farewell lullaby with it.
Mac was threatening them with a sample submachine gun spray. He meant mass murder, and the men knew it.
Yeah, you're slowing up, man. Maybe a little music will give you more inspiration.
It was an impossible task, but the men got the fire out.
Tracy.
Yes?
About those hoof prints around the mine, the cloven hoof. I've been giving it a lot of thought.
I thought those things didn't bother you.
Not like they bother you, chump. They bother me another way. To me, it's a gimmick. And I get nervous if I can't figure out how a gimmick operates.
A gimmick? I don't get you.
We'll take a walk tonight, the two of us. And I'll show you what I figured out. I've been playing timekeeper to the devil for a week now. Clocking him in and clocking him out.
We took that walk. With the wind at our back, we hauled up outside a deserted mud house, located halfway between El Fortuna Diablo and the town.
According to my timepiece, the devil is 2 minutes late.
Mac, you're not making sense.
Now, have yourself a look at the devil, Tracy.
The devil was walking stealthily toward the door of the mud house. He looked just like Manuelo had described him. Black from head to foot, horns rising from his skull, and feet formed into hooves. We watched him, and he came after me. I ran in panic into the mine. Here, the trap. The waters are rising. Max around an L somewhere in the tunnel, waiting in ambush. And I have got a choice. Drown and meet Mac's bullets head on.
Tracy, your time's running out.
Mac, I got a right to live.
You blasted Manuelo and he spread the word. I told you I came here to mine gold. You blasted Manuelo.
There isn't any gold.
I worked my straps free of Meadowbrook and strangled Klondike to get that map. I shot up a Kansas bank to get the money to buy mining equipment. All that so I could mine gold. You hear, Tracy?
Mine
gone!
Mac! What happened, Mac?
You hear, Tracy? You got me!
Ah, liar! I didn't even fire!
The trick. It's a trick to lure me out. Mac shot into the air to confuse me. He's there behind an L where I can't see him in ambush. Mac! Mac!
He cannot hear you, Señor Tracy. Mm-hmm. Mac. He's there.
It's the devil. It's the devil standing there. Like Manuelo described him, black from head to floor with horns rising from his skull. How many devils are there around here? First Montesano, now you?
Montesano is a faker. He sees tribute, he do many things. Kill many men. I have come to know, senor, that there is no Diablo.
No devil? You're not standing there, huh?
But I am real, senor. Behind this face, I am Parento.
Parento? They couldn't even find enough of you for a decent burial.
It was Salvador they could not find. In the hospital, the doctor agreed that Parento will drive the devil from El Fortuno Diablo. And the police agree Parento will be their deputy.
You killed Montesano and Max the mayor?
Si, senor. What is so funny, senor?
Max the mayor. I was thinking of Max master plan. He never figured that booby trap he planted in your lunchbox would blow up in his face.
A porter in a gold buying service once swept this track into a refuse pile.
Many a body loses his mind. Good thing Tracy came out of it all okay. What do you bet when he comes out of shock, he puts his diploma into heart? The way Mac framed him, I'd say Tracy was more engineered than engineered.
Inner Sanctum, on Tuned to Yesterday, from January 31st, 1949 on CBS, later transmitted via Armed Forces Radio. Paul McGrath, the host for that broadcast, had taken over for Raymond Edward Johnson, who was previously the famous wisecracking storyteller of the macabre. McGrath was with the series from May of 1945 through its conclusion in October of 1952. The next broadcast he would go on to star in was The Chase, and a tale called My Love is a Ghost. It's an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for The Mysterious Traveler, from July 6, 1947, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. James McCallion, Cameron Andrews, and Joseph Julian star in The Locomotive Ghost.
Mutual presents The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can. For in a few moments, you're going to meet a ghost, the strangest phantom that you ever heard of. But first, I want you to be my guest on a little train ride. We're running at 60 miles an hour on open track in the dead of night. Now we thunder through a sleeping village. Then beyond it, we plunge into the waiting mouth of a tunnel. We race through the tunnel and into the open again. Over a trestle and on into the night. A little world of our own, rushing forward resistlessly, a symbol of power and speed and life. Yes, trains do have a life of their own, as you'll see in the unusual ghost story that I call The Locomotive Ghost. My story starts some years ago in a hilly region of western Pennsylvania. It's almost midnight, and two men laden down with several handbags are moving cautiously over the rough ground beneath a railroad trestle. They come to a spot beneath one end of it, and there in the darkness, they stop and turn on a flashlight.
All right, we can sit down and rest now.
Are you sure this is the right spot?
Of course I'm sure. It's the loading spur that branches off at a mine entrance. Main line's over there, about 100 yards away.
How long do you think we'll have to wait?
5 or 10 minutes. These mine trains don't run in a minute the way they do out in the main line.
Suppose the money isn't on the mine train. They might have changed their plans.
They'll be on it. Those miners are waiting for their pay, and the treasurer's bringing it himself. Plus bonus money and cash for operating expenses. Big haul, my friend. $200,000.
$200,000? That's a lot of dough, but...
But what? You getting cold feet?
No, of course not, but... Well, they'll be killed, won't they? The crew on the train?
Forget it. I thought you were turning soft on me now after I spilled the whole plan to you.
No, Joe, I'm not turning soft. Joe.
What is it?
Thought I heard a noise then. Over there.
It's just your imagination. Oh, you're right. Somebody's coming. Keep the light steady. I got my gun handy.
Who could it be?
It's probably just a bum. Get up and sleep under this trestle. All right, you step where you are.
It's only me, boys. Just old Boomer.
Who?
Old Boomer, that's all. Looking for a place to bunk. Howdy, boys.
It's okay, Tom. I heard of this guy. So you're old Boomer, huh? The one they call the king of the bums?
Not the king, son. Just a traveling one of them all. 50 years I've been riding the roads, and I guess I've covered 1,000,000 miles of track. Mind if I sit down here? Got kind of aching my bones.
Sit down if you want to.
Thanks, son. Say, you fellas ain't bums. You're dressed too good.
Never mind about us. Curiosity ain't healthy.
Old Boomer never fights with anybody. Live and let live's his motto. Listen, here comes number 25. It's a mighty fine train, 25. Got a 16-wheel Mikado engine, can pull 20 cars at 80 on a level track. He's 50 seconds late tonight.
Do you know every train on the tracks?
Pretty near, son, pretty near. I ain't rode them all. I rode them all, I mean, from the Lackawanna to the Santa Fe. There ain't much about trains I don't know. Say, you fellas wouldn't have a little nip handy to take the chill out of an old man's bones.
No, we ain't got a little nip handy.
Sure, son. No harm in asking. There's the 25 passing Martinsville now. Ain't that whistle far off in the night a sweet, mournful sound, though?
Yeah, it is kind of mournful.
Sounds are far off and ghostly, don't it? Well, sometimes it is a ghost you hear, not a real train at all.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that sometimes when you hear a train whistling far off and mournful in the night, it ain't a real train at all. It's a ghost train.
Ghost train? It's a lot of hooey.
You just think so because you're young and don't know better. But old Boomer can tell you. There's ghost trains and plenty of them. They're the ghosts of trains that died in wrecks. Anything as live as a train, it's bound to have a ghost live on after.
All right, can the chatter. You're hurting my ears.
Well, let him talk, Joe. It helps pass the time.
All right, but if you ask me, he's spotting a lot of bushwhack.
Go on, Boomer. What were you saying about trains having ghosts?
Well, I've seen them many a time. They're running the tracks with all the lights out, gone faster than the wind. Not a sound coming from them. I've seen the Heavenly Express, too, a couple times.
What's the Heavenly Express?
It's a special train, son. It's on the Earth to Heaven run. Travels 1,000,000 miles a minute when it gets up speed. Takes the souls of railroad men from this world to the next. It always passes by when a wreck's gone to happen.
That's enough talk. I'm sick of listening to you.
All right, son. You don't believe me, but I know what I know. Glory be. I hear it coming. I hear it coming now.
Hear what coming?
The Heavenly Express. It's coming down this track. Listen.
I don't hear anything.
There's nothing to hear.
Passing right by overhead. Now it's slower. It's going to stop. Never stopped before. That means Rex's going to be here.
Joe, he knows.
That's it. That's what you're here for. You're going to wreck that mine train.
Hear that, old man? That's a mine train turning into this spur. You're right. We're going to wreck it.
No, you can't. You mustn't.
But before we do, we got to take care of you. And this is how we're going to do it.
You shot him.
I guess the Heavenly Express stopped for me, too. I sure hope so. But you fellas, it'll punish you. It'll follow you. Sure as I'm laying here.
Oh, follow us. What are you talking about?
The judgment special. It punishes fellas that wreck trains on purpose. It runs any place has tracks. And it follows them until it gets them. One way or another. Because murdering a train is like murdering a man. You got to pay for it. And if you'll pay for it, I think I'm crazy. But you'll see. You'll see.
Yeah, that shut him up. Crazy old coot.
I wish you hadn't killed him, Joe.
Don't be a sap. Couldn't let him live to tell what he knew, could I?
No, of course not.
Listen, I hear the mine train coming. We just got time to get ready now. Put the suitcase with the dynamite against the trestle here. That's it. Now, come on, help me unroll a wire.
Yeah, sure, Joe. Anything you say.
That's it. Keep coming. We gotta get plenty far away. Hear the train now?
Yeah, I hear it. I can see the headlight, too. Look how bright it is.
Okay, this is far enough. Take me just a second to hitch up the detonator. There it is. Now we're all ready.
It's on the trestle now. Almost halfway across.
What's the matter? You sound shaky. Listen, Tom, you're in this now, and it's too late to back out, you hear?
Yeah, I know. It's almost across.
All right, then I'll close the detonator. Now, there she goes.
Hours later, the two men, Joe Malone and Tom Henderson, were driving eastward through the night, far from the scene of the train wreck. Between them on the seat was a large handbag, and Joe Malone at the wheel, patted it lovingly.
$200,000. Ha! You realize that, Tom? We got $200,000 riding here between us.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
What's the matter? You don't sound very happy about it.
Sure I am. It's just...
Just what?
Well, I can't help remembering the crash when the mine train went to the ravine. The way the whistle kept screaming, just like the locomotive was something alive that was being killed.
Oh, for Pete's sake, the whistle valve got stuck when the engine crashed, that's all.
Sure, I know that, only... Well, I just can't help remembering it. Joe, the crew were all killed, weren't they?
Suppose they were. What do you care? You're as nervous as an old woman. Should never have rung you in on this job.
I'm all right. Really, I am, Joe. Listen, what are you going to do with your $100,000?
I'm heading for the big town. Going to have one swell time. Going to buy new clothes, stay at the best hotel in town, and really cut loose. Beat me in New York, I'll show you a real time.
Where are you going to stay?
Mrs. Miller's boarding house. It's over on the west side. You can find it in the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just staying there till I can buy some real classy duds, and I'm moving to Park Avenue. Always had a yen to live on Park Avenue. Now I'm going to see what it's like.
Yeah, sounds all right. Maybe, Joe, look out, that train!
What'd you do that for? Why'd you grab the brake? You stalled us right here in the middle of a railroad crossing.
I had to, Joe. The train on the track there in front of us. We almost ran into it.
What are you talking about? There wasn't any train on that track.
But there was, running without lights and not making a sound.
You're crazy. I tell you, there wasn't anything in sight, not even a hand car.
But I saw it, Joe.
Never heard of a train running without lights. That proved you're crazy.
Oh, well, maybe it was an empty. But if I hadn't stopped, the car would have smashed into the side of it.
Yeah. Never mind the suck you won. Now we're stalling the railroad track, and the car won't start.
I'll get out and push. Joe, look! A headlight!
Real train this time, coming around the bend. It's about 200 yards off.
Joe, it's going to hit us. We got to jump.
Yeah, but this door won't open. It's stuck.
Come on, out this side. Come on, I got the bag.
Oh, my coat's caught in the car door. I'm stuck. Help me.
I can't, Joe. Jump!
Help
me, Tom! Help! Help me! Help! Mister, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. But my friend, he must have been killed.
Yes, he sure was. So when do you get away? Look at your car. There's pieces of it spread a quarter mile up the track. Whatever made you stop right there in the crossing?
Car stall. Who are you?
I'm the crossing watchman.
Watchman? Why weren't you on duty? Why didn't you signal there was a train coming?
Because I didn't know it, mister. That was the wrecking train taking doctors down to Mineville. It was unscheduled.
Oh, I see. What about the other train, the one that went past going east just before the wrecking train hit us?
Other train?
Yeah.
Well, no other train due through here till 6 a.m. this morning.
I saw it, I tell you, traveling without lights.
No train ever travels without lights. It's against the law. Say, are you drunk?
No, I'm not.
Where are you going? Listen, I got a report to make on this. You got to fill out a form.
Forget it, I'm not interested. Get away from here. I'm going to New York.
Late the next afternoon, Tom Henderson reached New York. Not knowing where else to go, he hunted in the phone book for Mrs. Miller's boarding house that Joe Malone had mentioned and went there. Mrs. Miller gave him a room on the top floor, and there he carefully locked in the closet the precious handbag that held $200,000. All of it his since Joe's unfortunate death. After that, Tom went out to see New York's nightclub. But he got back after midnight, feeling considerably more cheerful. As he was about to unlock his door, Mrs. Miller appeared in the hall.
Oh, Mr. Henderson.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Miller.
I was waiting for you, Mr. Henderson. Huh? It's turned so cool that I lit the gas heater in your room.
Well, thanks a lot.
I just wanted to warn you that you...
What was that?
What was what, Mr. Henderson?
That whistle just now. What was it? A boat out in the river?
Oh, that was a freight train, Mr. Henderson.
Freight train? Here in the heart of New York?
Well, yes. They come down the west side elevated tracks to the freight yard downtown. They run past just a few yards down the street.
I didn't know that. I wouldn't have come here if I had.
Oh, I'm sure they won't bother you, Mr. Henderson. Really, they won't. Well, good night.
Good night. Oh, bad luck. She's sure they won't bother me. too late to find someplace else, or I'd leave here right now. I'll close it with that. There. I'll keep the sound out. Anyway, suppose I can hear a train or two. But I'm gonna hear them do me. I'm gonna go to sleep and forget it. Yeah, forget it. I've got 200,000 bucks and my whole life ahead of me. Should let an old coot like that boomer worry me. Joe's getting killed by a train was just an accident. Could happen to anybody. Me? I'm alive. Tomorrow, I'm gonna start enjoying it plenty.
Son, we're leaving in one millionth of a second, and we got to be on time.
Boomer, it's you.
That's right, son. You got to wake up and get aboard. We're pulling out.
Well, I'm at a railroad station someplace, but everything's so misty, I can't see much.
No time for talking, son. Got to get aboard.
Yeah, but I'm the only passenger, except for you and me, there isn't another soul in sight. And you're wearing a conductor's uniform.
They promoted me. Now, come on, get aboard.
I don't want to. I don't like trains. I don't want to go anyplace.
Can't help it. This is a special trip just for you. And you got to be aboard. Come on now, up those steps. That's it. Now we're off right on time to the millionth of a second.
Where are we going? What train is this? It's completely empty except for me and you.
That's right, son. It's a 1,000-car train pulled by 30 engines. And you and me are the only ones aboard.
Well, where are we going? What train is this, anyway?
It's the Judgment Special, son. And we're bound from this world to the next.
No. No!
Yeah, or any place there's tracks the Judgment Special goes. We stopped right outside your window and took you aboard.
I don't want to die. I don't want to.
You haven't any choice, son. You're on the Judgment Special, and we're hitting 1,000,000 miles a minute now.
What?
Look out the window. There's the earth way down below us. See it?
Yeah. But I don't want to leave it. I don't want to go.
Look at the stars flash by. We're gone 1,000,000 miles a minute, and it'll take us all eternity to get there.
Yep.
Here, I'll put the wind up so you can see better. There you are, son. There's the earth we left. That tiny little dot of light way up in the sky.
Oh, I won't go with you. I won't.
Hey.
I won't.
What are you doing? Get down.
I
can't jump out that window. We're going 1,000,000 miles a minute.
I won't jump. I'm not going with you.
Come back. Come back. Come
back. Wake up. Wake up, Mr. Henderson. Wake up.
What is it?
Oh.
What is it?
Oh, Mr. Henderson, thank heaven you're still alive. I thought you were dead for sure.
What happened?
Well, you closed your window. I meant to warn you that with the gas heater on, you must leave it open. Well, you almost suffocated in your sleep.
I almost suffocated?
Yes. If I hadn't heard you trying to get your breath and hurried in and opened your window, you'd have been dead now, for sure.
The rest of the night, Tom Henderson spent sitting on a bench in the nearest park, shivering at the nearness of his escape. The next day, he bought himself an expensive wardrobe. Then he checked into the biggest hotel on Park Avenue. There, 40 floors above the street, he was quite sure he wouldn't be bothered by hearing trains or having curious dreams about them. Especially as just before he retired, he took his sleeping tablet.
There, that fixed it. No dreams for me tonight. Some layout. So this is what you can enjoy when you have money. And I'm going to enjoy it. I've been letting my nerves get the better of me. Not anymore. I feel better already. So I'll go to the light. I'll sleep like a millionaire. Yes, just like a millionaire.
And so Tom fell asleep. But unfortunately, he did dream. And he knew he was dreaming, but he couldn't wake up. It was a very curious dream indeed. He dreamed that he got up and dressed, rode down in the elevator, that he walked out into Park Avenue, and there, down the street, he found a tiny door which he entered. It led down a flight of steep iron stairs to a dark tunnel far beneath the ground. There in the tunnel, a man was waiting for him. The man turned, and he saw it was his former pal, Joe Malone.
Hello, Tom.
Joe. Joe, it's you.
Yeah. I've been waiting for you, Tom.
But you're dead. I saw you killed.
Maybe I'm dead. Maybe I'm not.
You're dead. I know it. It's just a dream. I gotta wake up.
You can't wake up. Don't you understand? You're never gonna wake up.
I will.
No,
I will.
Oh, Tom. Now come along with me. I'm here to guide you.
Where? Where are you taking me?
Down this tunnel. See how it stretches out? On and on. Now it keeps going down and down.
No.
Where do you think it goes to?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Come on now, Tom. I can't wait all night.
No, I won't go. I'm going to wake up.
You can't, Tom. The night I was killed, you saw the judgment special. Now you can never get away from it.
It's not true. It's a dream. I'm safe in my own bed in the hotel.
And you refuse to come with me?
Yes, I do. I refuse.
Listen, Tom.
Listen to what? I don't hear anything.
Listen. It's closer now. You hear that? That's the judgment special, Tom. Coming through this tunnel.
Train. It's a train coming.
And where are you going to go? You're in a tunnel, Tom. And no way out.
It's just a dream. It can't hurt me.
It's coming closer, Tom. It's coming closer.
No, it's only a dream. I gotta wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, mister.
Thank heavens I'm awake.
I'd say not any too soon either.
But, who are you? So dark and carrying a lantern.
Who am I, mister? I'm a track walker.
Track walker? What do you mean?
I mean that I inspect the track here under Park Avenue.
What? How did I get here?
Why, mister, a minute ago I found you walking in your sleep, your eyes tight closed down this tunnel right under Park Avenue.
Park Avenue?
If I hadn't met you, you never would open your eyes again, because number 10 is due along here in 3 minutes.
And it wasn't a dream. I really am in a railroad tunnel. Yes, I am.
I'll say you are. How you got here, I don't know, unless you came down one of the inspection doors from the street. But, brother, if this walking in your sleep is something you do often, take my advice and see a doctor.
But Tom didn't go to a doctor, for he knew what a doctor would say, that it was his nerves, his guilty conscience. Now Tom felt he had to get away, far away to a place where there were no trains to haunt him. At dawn, he bought a ticket on the first plane leaving for Canada. That afternoon, he found himself in a tiny town deep in the heart of Canada. There, he hired a French-Canadian guide to take him by canoe far into the woods, away from any trace of civilization. Late that night, they arrived at the cabin where the guide lived with his wife. Tom unpacked his suitcase and joined the guide and his wife on the porch. For the first time since the wrecking of the mine train, Tom felt at peace.
Oh, this is something like it.
It is peaceful, is it not, monsieur?
Yeah.
Ah, monsieur's nerves are better already.
Yes, this is what I need. How far is it to the nearest railroad?
It is 80 miles, monsieur.
80 miles. Old Boomer said it traveled anywhere there were tracks. 80 miles ought to be enough.
Pardon? I do not understand.
Oh, never mind. I've got to get some sleep now.
Of course. Good night, monsieur.
Good night, monsieur.
What was that?
What was what, monsieur?
That whistle then. It sounded like a train whistle.
Impossible. It must have been an owl.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I bothered you. Good night.
Tom entered his room and went to bed. But he could not sleep. He tossed and turned and at last got up and dressed.
The moon is bright. I'll take a little walk. Gotta calm myself down. There's nothing to worry about now, not a thing. Out here in the wild, I'm safe. Perfectly safe.
Tom left the cabin and entered the woods. They pressed thick around him. But an open passageway through the trees attracted Tom. He started down it, the moonlight illuminating his way. He paused and made a startling discovery.
Why, I'm walking on old railroad ties. And there are tracks here, all rusted and loose. But the guide said there wasn't a railroad closer than 80 miles. He lied to me. He tricked me. A train. There's a train coming. It's coming toward me. There's a headlight. I gotta run. Run. Run.
Marie. Marie.
Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça, Pierre?
The nervous one. He's not in the cabin. He has wandered off into the woods.
Oh. That is strange.
We must go after him. Hurry, before he does himself an injury.
It's still behind me. Still following me. I can't run anymore. I can't go any further. I gotta stop.
The judgment special, son. It runs any place there's tracks, and it follows you till it gets you. Because murdering a train is like murdering a man. You've got to pay for it. You think I'm crazy, but you'll see. Here it comes, son.
No! No!
Cannot be far now, Marie. See his footprints. Ah, he was running for half a mile.
He would do himself harm running so hard in his darkness. Look, Pierre. Voilà.
Yes, it is the nervous one. We have found him. He's lying face down, awake. I will turn him over.
Pierre, he lies so still. Has he done himself an injury?
No, Marie. There is not a mark on him. Yet his face, it is twisted with fear.
Pierre, is he dead?
Yes, Marie, he is dead. Oh. His heart. He killed himself by running, no doubt. But what was it he ran away from? There is nothing dangerous in these woods.
Mysterious traveler again. Poor Tom. The tracks he found himself on led to an abandoned logging camp. They hadn't been used in 20 years, and no train could possibly have run on them. Except a ghost train. But of course, none of us believes in ghosts, so we just have to accept the coroner's verdict, which was heart failure induced by overexertion. Just the same, if you ever see a train running without lights, and going faster than the wind. Don't be too sure it's only your imagination. And next time you hear a distant, mournful whistle in the night, you... Oh, all this talk about trains is making you nervous, and you have to get off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. Shall we say, next week at the same time?
You've just heard The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. In today's cast were Maurice Tarplin, James McCallion, Joe Julian, Bryna Rayburn, and Cameron Andrews. Original music was played by Charles Paul. Mysterious Traveler is written, produced, and directed by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Listen next week to a tale titled
The Man the Insects Hated.
Another strange and shivery tale of the mysterious traveler. Mysterious Traveler has come to you from our New York studios. Carl Caruso speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 6th, 1947, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. And that brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.